I want to tell you a story about a man called Richard Wurmbrand. He was born in about more than 100 years ago, 1909, in Romania. And when it was 1938, he was saved through faith in Jesus. And in the following years, he became a pastor. And now, shortly after that, of course, the Second World War started. And Richard, he evangelizes. He tells the good news about Jesus to even the occupying German forces there in Romania. He preaches also in bomb shelters, and he rescues Jewish children out of the ghettos. And Richard and his wife Sabina, they are repeatedly arrested and beaten and at least once nearly executed. And then the World War II ended. It was 1945. And Romanian communists seized power, and more than a million Russian troops poured into the country. And again, Richard Wurmbrand, he ministers to these people, to his country, fellow countrymen, the Romanians. But he also tells the good news about Jesus to all those Russian soldiers. And he keeps pointing out the lies and the dangers of communism, a great risk. And indeed, 3 years later, in 1948, he is on his way to church and he is arrested by the secret police, put in prison under terrible circumstances. He's tortured, he's placed in solitary confinement for years, and only after 8 years he is released and warned not to preach again. But he can't stop himself. He wants to share the good news, and so he continues to preach anyway. And indeed, 3 years later, he is arrested again. And only in 1964 is he finally released. And then, with some help and pressure from his friends, he says, go, leave the country. It's too dangerous for you now. You can be a voice for the persecuted people who suffer under communism. And you might have heard of one of his books, Tortured for Christ or Prisoner Number One, that he wrote to share that story and to tell the wider world about what Christians under that communist persecution faced. And later then, he would testify that God, his presence, God's help in prison kept him going, then even rejoicing. And in the end, he died in 2001. So why am I telling you this? Well, Richard kept on serving his God, even in those really great dangers. And in those terrible situations that he was in, he loved the God who saves. And he sought to glorify this God his entire life, even at great personal risk. And while he survived, in the end, many of those dangers and died of old age, many, of course, did not do that. Many died at the hands of these, first the Nazis and then the communist persecutors. And now maybe some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, why would anyone even do that? Why would you not just give up? Why continue walking such a dangerous, risky route and facing all that danger? Why would you not just give up? How is this worth it? And then from the context of the book of Daniel that we are going to look at in a moment, Daniel chapter 6, but in the rest of the book, we find a bit of an answer to that. Again and again in the book, we see that kings here on earth, as powerful as they may be, they are only there for a few years. And it is only God's kingdom that lasts forever. He is more powerful than any of the earthly kings. And again, they are humbled. They are brought on their knees and they are made to confess that God alone is powerful and that they are only so limited in what they can do. And Daniel knew that, just like Richard Wurmbrand knew that. And they knew God is more powerful. And so I should be serving God, not these kings and rulers here on earth that ask me to do things God has forbidden. They knew they wanted to be on God's side. And that's the challenge then for us as well this morning. Wouldn't you want to honor and worship the real king of the universe, God himself? By the time we get to Daniel chapter 6, Daniel himself is an old man. He is in his 80s and he has served his whole life in a foreign country. He was taken as a teenager away from his own land, brought to a foreign country. First the Babylonian Empire, but that had collapsed. And now the Persian Empire had come. And this man Darius that we read of in verse 1 was the king at the time. And Darius is actually quite favorable towards Daniel. He likes him and he sees that Daniel's a good man and a good servant and that he works well and has served faithfully in that government for so many years. Daniel is still following the course that he took as a very young man. If you would read chapter 1, you see how he made a very courageous stance back then to keep serving God, not wanting to be swallowed up, as it were, by that foreign nation. So the theme that we will think about this morning is, as we look at Daniel 6, is keep on serving the saving God. Keep on serving the saving God. And the first thing is then that we see that you might be blameless and yet hated. Blameless yet hated. Look with me at verse 1 if you want. We see that Darius has made his plan to govern his kingdom. That he wants to set up a government of 120 men and above them three other men. And he's even thinking of making Daniel like his second man, ruling even over those three. And in verse 3 we then read, Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, ministers, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. But then we read of his colleagues, and they hate him. It's either because of jealousy, or maybe because it would hinder their ways of getting rich through bribery and corruption, because they knew Daniel wouldn't go ahead with that sort of thing. But these colleagues of his, they want him gone. Verse 4. The governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. And so they can only think of misusing Daniel's faithfulness toward his God. And it's striking that throughout the chapter that is emphasized, just how faithful, how continuous Daniel's worship was. Look with me at verse 5. We shall not find any charge against God, against this Daniel, unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And then down in verse 10. He continues praying as was his custom since early days. And we'll consider that verse more in a moment. And if you look down at verse 16 then, the king said to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. And verse 20, Daniel, the servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions. So what a testimony we see here in the life and in the service of Daniel. This was Daniel's priority. And such was the value and the importance that he saw in worshipping this God, the true God, the living God, that he stayed so faithful. And note, it is only because Daniel's worship was so continuous and so persistent and all the clear that these enemies can get him with this new law. Because if Daniel's prayer life